So the Facebook Oversight Board, is this something anyone actually needs? From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Molly Wood. As you've probably heard, Facebook has an oversight board. Last week, it upheld the company's ban of former President Trump with caveats. The board, created by Facebook and paid for by Facebook, has received such attention and been treated so seriously that it made us wonder, is this something other tech companies are going to try? Marie Tshaka is the president of the Cyber Peace Institute and helped found a group of experts that calls itself the real Facebook Oversight Board. She says the actual board misses the big picture.
You know, there's global focus on what this small group of people has to say about Donald Trump's account, while the harms from Facebook come from its business model, from a number of aspects of the business model that the oversight board has no authority to talk about. So algorithmic amplification, groups, advertisements, they're all outside of the remit of the Facebook oversight board. And right. So, yeah, it doesn't actually address the problem. It distracts from a discussion about what is needed to address the problems.
But I do wonder, do you think other companies might embrace this model? Is it either a nice buffer or something that could potentially deal with such a big thorny issue?
Well, it's a trend indeed that we see, especially big tech companies embracing. For example, Microsoft has opened a mission to the United Nations, a sort of embassy that normally countries open, you know, to engage in diplomatic relations. So I think indeed these big tech companies are very happy to set up their own type of governance models to either pretend that there's oversight or that there's rules that are followed. But in a democracy, that's not a desirable phenomenon. You really want to have publicly legitimate and also accountable rules of the road.
Sounds like you're saying there's no need for a board at all. There's just a need for rules that everybody can review and understand.
Well, I mean, you could always invite some extra eyes to critically look at your business model. And I think one question is whether Facebook is going to actually deal with the recommendations that its oversight board has asked for. For example, the members of the oversight board had asked a number of questions that a number of them were not answered by Facebook. So I don't even know if Facebook, the company, really knows what it wants with the oversight board. Mm-hmm. In any case, it's never a full solution. I do believe it helps to have multiple eyes on difficult processes, but we shouldn't pretend that this is an actual, you know, court or let alone a Supreme Court, as Mark Zuckerberg once called it. And I worry when I hear people giving this process that's self-regulatory so much weight.
I mean, I feel like that is sort of the phenomenon that has to be discussed, is that companies might look at this and look at this outcome and look at possibly the distance that was created between Facebook and its own decision and say, this seems great. We want to do the same thing.
Absolutely, because it's a great deflector. So, you know, if a board upholds or supports a decision, the company can pretend that it's a more legitimate process. You know, if it revokes or, you know, challenges the decision, company can say, well, you know, we've been scrutinized. Even if this is still all a self-organized process that I'm sure Facebook would not have engaged in if it didn't see benefits, PR or otherwise.
Could there be a future in which oversight bodies like this exist, but are themselves regulated and have standards and are a little bit more binding or real?
Well, I would say for that, we would need to look at the regulatory bodies that already exist. An FTC, an FCC, hopefully a data protection regulator in the United States with a federal data protection law that it would oversee. The threshold should be the law that comes about or is adjusted or updated if necessary through a democratic, legitimate process and has truly independent oversight. So I think, you know, even formalizing these self-regulatory processes distracts from the need to bring big tech, small tech, social media, and other companies under the wings of democratic norms and rule of law-based processes. I think this is normal. Again, we see it in a number of other industries. There is no reason why tech that deals with very sensitive aspects of our lives, you know, data, everything we see, manipulating our behavior, children's sensitivities, mental health, public health, when we look at information about COVID, these companies are really at the heart of our information architecture. And information technology are power, and it's important that that power is balanced with counterpower oversight.
I think I hear you saying that this board wouldn't need to exist if, you know, we have these regulatory agencies, but what they essentially do is ask companies to self-police. So if we actually had regulation in place to require transparency about this decision making, to, you know, deal with algorithmic amplification, there wouldn't be any need to create this kind of like quasi-fictional ombuds board.
Yes, I agree. And I think it might also help for Americans to sometimes look outside of their borders. I'm from the Netherlands, from the EU myself. And, you know, there are a number of initiatives here to have, you know, AI rules, rules around digital services in terms of their responsibility for the content that is on their platforms, rules in their roles as gatekeepers. You know, can Apple decide who it wants or doesn't want in their store? Can it charge certain services more than others? A lot of work is being done. It's just that the United States has been libertarian, hands-off, for a long time, trusting that actually the interests of the American people and the American state were aligned with the interests of big tech. And I think, unfortunately, there have been some hard lessons learned over the past year. There's been an online organized storming of the U.S. Capitol, a direct attack on democracy. There have been countless lies shared about the pandemic, the vaccines. The former U.S. president challenges the elections he himself ran in while no formal institution agrees with his allegations. These are very, very serious tendencies that all play out with online megaphones. And it's really time, I think, also for America to stand for what is precious, which is everybody's democratic rights, public debate, a balancing of private power, private governance. And it can take inspiration both from what can go wrong in the rest of the world and what might be done well when it comes to rules in place.
Marie Tshaka is part of a group of independent experts called the Real Facebook Oversight Board. The actual Facebook Oversight Board told us in a statement it wasn't designed to solve all Facebook's problems, but would not shy away from holding it accountable. And now for some related links. We've got a link to the op-ed Marietje wrote in the LA Times at marketplacetech.org, and a statement by the Real Facebook Oversight Board, which says the Real Oversight Board's ruling proved its pointlessness. For what it's worth, though, Evelyn Dueck has a good piece in The Atlantic saying, sure, this board is a totally made-up thing, and its ultimate decision, which once again was that Facebook was right to ban Trump for violating its terms of service repeatedly and inciting real-world violence, but Facebook needs to make clearer rules and also figure out for itself whether the ban is permanent. Well, that decision sort of puts us right back where we started. But on the other hand, at least it's not only Mark Zuckerberg making the call. As the piece puts it, the oversight board, while flawed, fills an enormous legal void. That's also the point Marietje is making, but the truth is that coming up with the legal framework might be even more challenging than asking this weird board to embrace its role and, like it told us in its statement, use its position from the inside to push the company even harder. Evelyn Dueck writes that the board is, quote, the worst option, except for all the rest. The counterpoint, I think, is the one I made last week, however, and the one Marietje makes at the beginning of our interview, and that's Facebook's role here. This isn't actually only about speech. It's about what happens when the speech gets airborne. Simply put, it takes two to tango. If people, including Trump, come along and post incitements to violence or lies or deliberate disinformation designed to divide, and that content is engaging and people click on it and comment on it, then Facebook's algorithm, about which it will not answer questions even to its own so-called Supreme Court, amplifies that content. So again, it's possible the board is a solution to a problem that's not actually the real problem. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.